Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What a game. What a game the other day at Heinz Field. We talked about it off the top because we were taunting Crowley with the Pit Fight song. But man, that's what college football is all about. Just craziness at the end. I was watching in a bar, Bob, on Saturday. So I had to go back and look at the final quarter today. And all hell was breaking loose. I mean, there was so much to keep track of what was happening. It was insanity. So tons of stories coming out of the game. To me, the two biggest are Neil Brown is lucky he's still coaching today. He's really done nothing at West Virginia, and I mean nothing. I mentioned earlier he's never beaten a team above 15 in the country on the week they played them anyway, and that was number 15 Virginia Tech 1 year. Last year was a total mirage, which some of us knew, and this year looks like it's a pending disaster. Are you up 10 with around 4 minutes left and the other team has a, what was it, second and 30, first and 30?
Second and 30.
And you don't even get to overtime in that game? You don't even get to overtime. So, Bob, that's story number one. Story number two, and probably the bigger one, is what do we make of Pitt 3 games into the season? And to me, the story is the quarterback. Most of the time when Pitt's been good in my time here, since November of 89, when I arrived, when Pitt's been good, they have a quarterback, and I really like this kid. I don't know how good Pitt is yet. I don't. I don't really agree with the Post-Gazette story that I read today, although it was very well written about how, you know, now expectations have been wildly written. To me, they were always going to be at least 2-1, you know, and they're 3-0, and credit to them for these amazing comebacks. But this quarterback and this offense are very interesting to me. I love this kid. His fire, his instincts in the pocket, some of the scrambles that he made at key times, his arm. I can see why Nick Saban recruited him. I could never understand in the offseason when I'd ask Pitt insiders, what's up with Holstein? Oh, I don't think they like him that much. Yarnell's going to start. What? They brought in a kid from Alabama and he's not going to start? That always seemed ridiculous to me. I really like him, Bob. And when you have a quarterback, you become dangerous.
No question. And the fact that he was recruited by Alabama tells you all you need to know about the potential talent and what they saw in him. Now, he saw a roadblock for him to play down there, and I understand that. You got to go to a place where you can play. He has been terrific. And it's just his gutsiness, really, that sticks out and his willingness to make everyone around him better at the critical times. He's done a very good job with that. You know, in that West Virginia game, I thought West Virginia did a very good job of really silencing Desmond Reed. And he's been the number one reason, aside from Holstein, why they've generated so much offense. I mean, the week before, he had 100 yards rushing and receiving. No Pitt running back's ever done that. So they keyed on him. They shut him down. He did not have much of a role. But it was, you know, it takes two to tangle. And as much as I give credit to Pitt for digging deep and not stopping and coming back and winning these games, I thought both Cincinnati and West Virginia really played into their hands with some of their decision-making defensively while nursing a big lead. They did not do what I would have thought teams would do in that situation. And so availability was there. There were some people. Why? I don't understand second and 30, number one, how you get 40 yards and a touchdown.
They blitzed.
That's what I'm saying. That's a stupid call when you should be flooding the zone and make sure that doesn't happen. But also, if you looked at the last drive, you know, 2 75-yard drives in the last 3 minutes. The last one, there are guys running wide open in the middle of the field. Again, the only shot Pitt has is to make those kinds of completions, and West Virginia was kind of a lackadaisical defensive effort there. So it takes two to tangle. But having said that, I think it's time, Joe, to reassess where Pitt is. And you guys like to do this in the regular season when we talk about the Steelers. Everybody has a preseason prediction. Many of them were not good ones. Many people thought it would be a 5-6 win team maybe.
Well, That's the part I want to hold off on a little bit.
But it's three games into this.
Yeah.
Four would be a win on, and then you go in the ACC.
And they've never had an unbeaten non-conference schedule.
Never, which is surprising. In all the years of Pitt football. What I'll say, though, is have you changed your opinion about the ACC? Most people came into this looking at the preseason ranking, which I hate. Florida State 10, you have Clemson, you have Miami, all these teams. Pitt has a pretty good schedule. Clemson is here. They don't have to deal with, I don't think, Florida State. And all these
Florida
other
states.
All these other, you know, my point is they were supposed to be good.
Yeah.
All these other teams are very average, you know.
Well,
maybe like them.
I don't know that yet. I mean, I can't go along with the idea that suddenly Pitt is going to be competing for an ACC championship until I see them play. No, I know you didn't.
I'm just trying to get you to up your ante. I forget what your preseason was, but mine was 6 wins, probably was a good year based on all the people they lost, some of the shortcomings they may have had. I thought that was realistic. Now I don't think it's realistic. I think it'll be higher than that.
Well, yeah, it better be higher than that. But Stephen Thompson wrote something for the Post-Gazette, really well written and good, sort of speaking to what you're speaking to. And he says that now it's, you know, this wasn't a rebuilding year to them. It was another chance to compete for an ACC championship. And it's time to say it plainly, writes Thompson. This Pitt team is good and capable of contending for something bigger and more tangible than simply a return to mediocrity. Listen, like I just said, when you have a quarterback, and I think a lot of offensive weapons, anything could be possible, but I need to see this team play an ACC game. They just played a horrible Cincinnati team, one of the worst teams in Power 5 football.
Which dominated them for three quarters.
And then West Virginia, which is no good. West Virginia got blown out by Penn State. They gave up 400 or so yards to Albany, and then Pitt got by them. And much credit. It's been, again, wildly entertaining, fun to watch. I give them all the credit in the world, but that's different than saying, do I suddenly think Pitt is good, really good maybe, and ready to compete for an ACC championship? All I want is to reserve the right to watch them in an ACC game, and I don't know about these other teams yet, Bob. Cal's 3-0. Miami's number 8 in the country, 3-0. North Carolina's 3-0 and have outscored their opponents 102-47. Louisville looks like a good team. SMU looks like a pretty good team. I have to see the actual. I can't make a sane judgment after watching Pitt play the opponents that they've played and suddenly say we're looking at the possibility of an ACC championship. Now, we can have this conversation in a couple weeks after they play. Well, not Youngstown State. After they play at North Carolina, Cal, Syracuse, at SMU, let's just say North Carolina and Cal. May we revisit the conversation then, Bob?
Yes.
Because North Carolina's 3-0. A lot of these teams have played nobody. Pitt's actually played a better schedule than some of these teams.
Didn't they lose their starting quarterback, though, North Carolina? Or somebody lost the starting quarterback, I saw.
That I don't know. And then after that, Cal. Now, Cal is also 3-0. They beat Auburn, and then they beat San Diego State 31-10. What if they're? I don't know yet. That's my point. But
I agree.
But I do want to stick to the positive here. The positive is two unbelievably entertaining wins. It looks like offense could be back around here, and I love this quarterback. I love this guy. I love his mustache. I love his fiery temperament. He's got a little bit of Tyler Palco in there. Right?
Yeah.
He's fun to
just
watch.
Don't give him a live mic when you win a big game. You never know what you might get.
So, yeah, I suppose if the question comes back, are my expectations on a win total raise? Yes. Do I know if Pitt is good, let alone really good this year? I don't know, man. I've got to see a couple more games, at least one conference game before I
right.
make that determination.
But, and here's the other side of that. To your point about waiting, I mean, honestly, the odds of them winning either of those games in the fourth quarter, when you look at their history, I think there was an 18-year span. I saw a number on this where they were 0-72 when they trailed by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter. This year, they're 2-0 when trailing by 10 points or more in the fourth quarter. It's hard to make those
That's
comebacks.
That's incredible.
So, you know, yeah, they put themselves in holes, but they've dug out from those holes. That says a lot about them, and you could build on that, and then it's going to have to carry over into the ACC schedule, which starts not this week but next. So,
He has
maybe
three.
Maybe too early to make that proclamation that they're going to be. But I still think they're going to be better than maybe I thought or maybe what a lot of people thought.
That's fair.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I do think that's fair. And Holstein may be way better than people thought. Three 300-yard games, Bob. Three of them. That's unbelievable.
Nobody since Alex Van Pelt, I think, has done that.
If you took
to start a career,
every team in college and pro football and added up the records of all teams of, let's just say, the last decade of when you're down 21 in any game, you would have a winning percentage of what? 2%? 1%?
Yeah, not very good.
And then if you took all the teams in college and pro football over the last decade and said, what's the winning percentage when you're down 10 or more with less than 5 minutes left in the game, it's the same thing. You don't win those games, let alone two in a row. So credit, much credit to them, because that was exciting stuff.
That's what I like most about it. It's what college football should be. Fun atmosphere, two teams, rivals going at it, ups and downs, swings of emotion, and then the final drive, which was just surreal to me, how they put two of those drives back-to-back and won the game. So you could take away a lot from their season, but those kind of memories, those kinds of games, that was one of the most exciting games in the history of this 107-yard rivalry.
Yes.
Your rivalry. Because it just, the dynamics of it that contributed to that ending. Similar to what we saw 2 years ago here in Pittsburgh.
It was so fun and crazy and wild. You know, you get more of that ideally in college football than in the pros. I think when you have evenly matched teams and it's just insanity at the end of games, although I probably shouldn't say that because the 1 o'clock games yesterday, it seems like every week in the NFL, if you're watching Red Zone, it's like addictive. It's like every game's coming down to the wire. So I may decide to take back that statement, Bob, but this was unbelievable in the truest sense of that overused word. And Holstein really has great instincts in there too. I was rewatching some of those scrambles. He was sacked, and the one he spun out of, and there was another one. And I don't even think Pickett had this, at least certainly not in the pros. I know that's a very different game. Was sensing pressure when you can't see it and leaving the pocket at precisely the right time. Those were amazing plays he made on those last two drives. He made those drives.
There's no question. His ability to create and extend plays. And I think the word there is extend. He knew what to do to keep that play alive, whatever it was. And he made the accurate throws after that.
So I don't want to squelch the possibility either. I mean, it's possible that we could be looking at Pitt in 4 weeks that they're 7-0, 8-0, and are a national story. And people are talking about him as a low-key Heisman guy. You start your career with three 300-yard games. But it's way too early in the competition so far. At least leaves me with some question marks.
Yeah, and that's a fair assessment. It does. And again, we don't know a lot about these teams. I will say this, though.
Maybe these teams are better than the ACC. I don't know.
Given the fact that there is a 12-team playoff for the first time, we're going to see that play out. Is there a better conference that Pitt could be in to give them a shot at doing this? Because if there were any of
No, you're right about that.
The ACC seems to be fairly wide open.
Maybe the Pac-2, if they were in that, they could be the third team and win it.
Looks like they're adding six teams or four teams to make it a Pac-6 right now, and who knows, a six-pack, maybe a 12-pack later.
What was I going to say? Thank you.
Oh, we got the beer going. Do you have any wine in there?
He may.
Okay.
If you get a sound of uncorking a wine bottle, that
there is no sound. Yeah, there is a sound to that.
You know what? It's fun. I'm entertained by Pitt football again. Last year was painful. Just painful. Yeah.
3-9 will do that to you.
And the offense was ridiculous. It was between the Steelers and the Pitt offense last year. What are we doing here? So this is a huge upgrade when you have a quarterback and a fun offense to watch. This is great stuff. But after the game, we had Pat Narduzzi piping up again.
Gotta love the emotion, though, of that.
I do. We were talking last week, Limits and I, about how there's not many characters as coaches anymore. He is actually a character. This dude says anything that's on his mind. He'll willingly bury himself at any point in any season, which is kind of admirable in a way. But he certainly made national news, and a lot of people did like it the other day with this comment after the game.
I think our DBs did a heck of a job, period. I mean, some of the calls we got late hit out of bounds.
Unless you challenged your defense, specifically your secondary in this one, how do you think they answered that?
I think our DBs did a heck of a job, period. I mean, some of the calls we got late hit out of bounds, they catch a ball with the hands in the face, and I've never seen anything like it. You know? Wow. We beat West Virginia in the backyard brawl, and we beat the officials too in one game.
Well, you knew there was.
I love that.
You knew there was going to be a fine coming his way, and there was.
There was. I love that. Let's talk next whether there was any merit behind those comments, because that's a big comment to make. And a lot of people would say, unnecessary. You won the game, Pat. You know, do you think that's going to play well for officials in the future? I don't know. That's just a question. I also have a question of why a Big 12 crew would do a game like that. Like, if you have a Big 12 team and an ACC team, why don't you have like an SEC crew? Is that a reasonable question, Bob? Why would you have a crew from one of the two conferences involved in a game?
Right, in non-conference games, I think it should be shared. You know, figure out a way to do it. Some other conference gets involved. You don't have one over the other. And that's not to say that these guys are going to be tilted or slanted in any way. It's tough to officiate a game. But I agree with your original point. I don't think it needed to be said. There was enough emotion there that could be bypassed. And all it's going to lead to is questions about what you said as opposed to what you did.
Well, having said all that, I'm glad he said it, Bob, because it's good for business. And like I said with him, I mean, there's just no filter, which is a wonderful thing in some ways. Let's talk about this. Was there any merit to Pat Narduzzi blatantly and publicly ripping the officials here? 412-928-9370. And is Pitt going to become a story? I remember all the way back to the days that I started covering Pitt during the beginning days of the Walt Harris era, and then I covered the Big East for ESPN. And one of my biggest gripes was they never get off to like a nationally noticeable start where everybody's like, wow, Pitt's 3-0, Pitt's 4-0. And every other team in the old Big East, even when it was starting to fall apart, would have at least one year where everybody was talking about them for a little while. South Florida did it. Cincinnati did it. Rutgers, for God's sakes, got off to a couple of great starts where they're undefeated in the middle of seasons and playing games where everybody's talking about them. Did I mention UConn? I mentioned Cincinnati. Of course, West Virginia. Never Pitt. Never. They haven't started 4-0 since the year 2000, for God's sakes. So I guess that one year... Yeah, but why not ever be able to start where people are talking about you at 6-0 and 7-0? Because that's when it becomes really fun. And like you said, Bob, with a 12-team playoff, you can dare to dream when you're 6-0. You certainly can, given their schedule. So they're doing it. It looks like they're going to get off to a 4-0 start and be undefeated in the non-conference for the first time ever. They joined the Big East in 91. They didn't have, you know, people say, well, what about 76? They weren't in a conference.
Right.
So this is it. 4-0. That would be great stuff.
But I will also say this. Youngstown State in the past has given them fits at times. So teams like Ohio University. And coming off a win like that with all that emotion, you know.
If they lose to Youngstown State,
they won't
shut down the program.
But I'm telling you, it may be a sloppy game.
Well, Paul Chryst ain't walking through that door to lose to Youngstown State. At least I hope
How
not.
How about Duquesne? Congrats to Jerry Schmidt and his Dukes. They went and beat Youngstown State 28-25 the other day. Good for their program.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Joe.
Your thoughts on Narduzzi after the game. We'll do that next at 928-9370.